Was ist Radiokunst und wie hat sie sich entwickelt? Diese Fragen hat der Komponist Colin Black denen gestellt, die es wissen müssen: Künstlern, Redakteuren und Theoretikern. 5 Jahre lang ist er durch die Welt gereist und hat die wichtigsten Akteure des Genres interviewt. Seine Gespräche kombinierte er mit Klängen aus verschiedenen Stilrichtungen und Phasen der Radiokunst. Sonic Reflections, so heißt seine Arbeit, und damit herzlich willkommen zur Klangkunst auf Deutschlandradio Kultur. Colin Black lebt in Australien und er promovierte mit seiner Arbeit zur Ars Acoustica an der Universität in Sydney. Er ist Komponist, Künstler und Dozent. Für seine Arbeiten hat er diverse Preise bekommen, so den Prix Italia 2003 und den Gold Award der New York Festivals 2015. Für Deutschlandradio Kultur komponierte er zuletzt Kilians Antipodean Dream aus dem Jahr 2010. Nun beschäftigt er sich also mit der Geschichte seiner Kunstform. Was ist Radiokunst und wo fängt sie an? Götzner Lepper, selbst Radiokünstler und früherer Redakteur dieses Sendeplatzes, bezieht sich auf das Hörspiel und seine 3 Komponenten Text, Geräusch und Musik mit dem Text im Vordergrund. In der Ars Acoustica dagegen sieht er die Verhältnisse umgekehrt. Geräusche und Musik dominieren das Geschehen, der Text tritt zurück. Weitere Definitionen kommen von der österreichischen Radiokunstpionierin Heidi Grundmann, dem amerikanischen Theoretiker Douglas Kahn, dem schwedischen Komponisten und Redakteur Erik Michael Karlsson, dem japanischen Klangkünstler Atao Tanaka und anderen. Trotz der vielen Wortmeldungen ist Sonic Reflections keine reine Diskursveranstaltung, sondern eine eigenständige Radiokomposition. Die verwendeten Geräusche stammen dabei aus den verschiedenen Epochen der Radiogeschichte. Wir hören zum Beispiel den Motor eines Buke, Baujahr 1929, ein vorbeifliegendes Flugzeug und verschiedene Kommunikationsmittel, vom Telegrafen bis zum Skype-Anruf. Hören Sie als Ursendung Sonic Reflections von Colin Black.
It's a kind of storytelling in a way, even if it's totally abstract.
Was ist Radiokunst?
What is radio art?
And I think that the only way of working with this to actually broaden the spectrum of what is radio art and not lock yourself into a fixed idea.
Thank you. It's a long tradition. The first sound piece I know, German sound piece, was Weekend
by Walter Woodmann, which is 1930.
It in historical terms, you'd say that maybe Artaud's Point Finis avec le Jugement de Dieu was one example of the radio space as this site of immanence and of some sort of interiority. And on the other hand, you could look at the Orson Welles version of War of the Worlds, exemplifying radio as this social space of exterior drama and of collective effort, all kinds of other kind of distinctive elements. And I suppose the probe or the problematic I'm trying to look at practically myself, which occasionally rears its head as a sort of theoretical idea in the 24/7 torrent of information that we broadcast, is one in which radio is this arena in which all possible sound elements brought into equilibrium.
And if you think about the history, Italian futurism, Russian futurism, the Dadaism, these are all very important developments in the early 20th century, or who produced the idea of working in a different way with the sounding materials.
With the voice, with poetry, the Russian futurism was something fantastic.
Parce qu'en fait, la radio, tout comme le cinéma, appartient à la catégorie des arts technologiques. Ce sont des arts qui ont besoin du support technique pour exister. La caméra, le microphone ou l'enregistrement, ensuite le montage, la deuxième phase de montage et le mixage. Ce sont des arts dans qui le cinéma a explosé en termes de public et de reconnaissance. Le cinéma est un art, il n'y a aucun souci, que ce soit dans le documentaire, que ce soit dans le cinéma expérimental, dans l'animation, dans la fiction. Et après, à l'intérieur de la fiction, il y a des tas de sous-genres. Le cinéma existe, il a un public, c'est même une industrie. Alors que la radio a quelque chose d'un peu, c'est un peu différent. C'est apparu au même moment que le cinéma, grosso modo. Ça a connu les mêmes étapes de transformation et de perfectionnement. On est passé de la mono à la stéréo, tout comme on est passé du noir et blanc à la couleur. Donc ce sont des arts qu'on peut assez facilement comparer. Cela dit, la comparaison en termes de public, elle ne tient plus. Le cinéma connaît des millions d'acteurs, la radiophonie, après l'interruption, il y a des tas de sous-genres. La radiophonie qui cinéma est confiné dans des niches, dans des endroits, alors que la radio est confidentielle, la radio est peu connue, c'est un peu au même moment. Donc il y a un vrai travail, en fait, qui est donné, la radio ça arrive dans les arts, je pense que c'est l'étape du support martial, c'est la mono, l'importance capitale. Donc il y a un vrai travail, la fait de faire connaître ce travail-là, et je pense qu'il y a
What is radio art?
It's something that has to do with some certain in-betweenness.
Is
is a form of art that involves a distance and a certain form of distance between two points. And a separation, and the overcoming of this separation, which has some kind of magic to it. And this was the feeling of the first people that heard radio transmission and got surprised with that. You hear something that is not actually here.
And get transmitted.
The listener.
Whether it's a collective consciousness, a community, or
just the individual listener. You know,
subjectivity.
The subjectivity.
But the nature of that relationship.
The nature of that relationship.
Can be quite convoluted. That, I think, is part of the material as well.
That has many roots. One of the important roots is French musique concrète.
C'est un art qui est très
ouvert qui possède beaucoup de facettes. Ces facettes sont nées à différentes époques durant le XXe siècle. Évidemment, la fiction, la dramatique, qui vient d'Allemagne, qui vient de tout le travail qu'a pu faire un chercheur comme Arnheim, par exemple, en Allemagne, est une des composantes essentielles de la radiophonique.
C'est-à-dire la fiction et tout ce qui touche autour à la fiction, dramatique, drama, est l'une des mamelles de la création radiophonique. Mais en fait, elles sont multiples, ces facettes. Il y a la fiction, on pourrait parler du documentaire, ce qu'on appelle le documentaire de création en France, qui est un documentaire dans lequel on travaille beaucoup, autant le fond que la forme, avec une espèce de... de complétude dans l'idée de travailler le l'approche documentaire.
Il y a évidemment aussi des émissions du genre poétique, tout ce qui touche à la poésie sonore. Tout ce qui touche notamment au premier dada allemand que sont Kurzschwitters, qui sont les premiers à avoir travaillé un art de la voix, un art de la poésie, qui se tournait plus volontiers vers la parole. En plus, en France, on a eu, nous, toute une génération de poètes concrets ou de poètes sonores. Je pense à François Dufresne, à Henri Chopin, à Bernard Heitzig, qui ont été des moteurs dans l'esthétique de la poésie sonore radiophonique. On peut aussi évidemment toucher la musique électroacoustique est née au sein de la radio. La musique concrète à Paris est née dans pas loin de cette maison, enfin du moins ici. Et finalement, trouver une musique qui serait elle-même une musique technologique, c'est évidemment une musique radiophonique. Et après, quand on fait entrer évidemment les composantes musicales de la musique électroacoustique et de la voix, on touche à une autre forme d'art que les Allemands appellent le Hörspiel, le jeu d'écoute ou le jeu pour l'écoute, qui est un genre typiquement radiophonique, un genre de travail sonore pour la radio. Mais après, on peut encore ouvrir l'art radiophonique à d'autres catégories. Nous, depuis une dizaine d'années, on s'est beaucoup tourné vers les plasticiens, vers des photographes, vers des chorégraphes qui sont venus faire des pièces radiophoniques. Et on a découvert qu'il y avait d'autres terrains d'expression. C'est-à-dire qu'il peut y avoir des émissions qui sont purement plastiques, d'autres qui sont conceptuelles, d'autres qui jouent avec le média radio, qui le détournent. Donc on touche là plus à des œuvres qui sont dans le domaine des arts plastiques et du travail du son dans ce domaine. Et alors après, il y a tout ce qui n'a pas encore été inventé au niveau du son, tout ce qui n'a pas encore été éprouvé. Je pense à l'écriture de la spatialisation qui va donner lieu dans les années à venir à d'autres formes. Je pense à des formes d'interaction entre le déplacement de l'auditeur et le temps réel, avec des fameux appareils que sont les PDA, GPS, qui permettent une nouvelle approche de travail du son et de la, entre guillemets, aussi radiophonique. Donc je pense que c'est vraiment une boule à multifacettes. Et c'est ça qui est très intéressant. C'est-à-dire que chaque semaine, on fait quelque chose de totalement nouveau quand on baigne dans la radiophonie.
Was ist Radiokunst?
What is radio art?
It was associated a lot with the VDR.
The gear in, say Stockhausen Studio in Cologne. What he made, what he was available to.
another center of all of this kind of stuff was in Sweden, in Stockholm, where a group of people got together and started experimenting electronically and so on like that.
Experimental drama all slide fit in together.
Ars Acoustica.
Klaus Schoening probably spent more money on radio
Neues
art and audio art and experimental music that got onto radio.
Klaus Schoening.
He hired more people, commissioned more people than any radio
station
in the US.
Studio für akustische Kunst.
In radio play, you have normally three elements. You have a text spoken by actors, you have recorded sounds, and you have music. But music and sound are serving the text. Text first, and music and sound is illustrative. The lovers walk in the forest, and the birds are singing, and music is playing because they are love. Cliché. This is an example how music and sound serves the text. In sound art, you have exactly the same elements. You have text, speakers, singers. You have music and you have sound. But they are material in the hands of an organizer. The organizer is the composer. They are equal. There's not text first and music serving, nor text serving to music. It's neutral. It's material, and the composer decides which balance the elements can have. You can tell a story only by words, or you can tell a story only by music, and you can tell a story only by noises, sounds, recorded sounds.
They've been interlinked with radio since its beginning, but I would say they're all supposedly researchers and composers, and they're paid to research and compose. Or I don't know whether that's the case anymore, but that was what they were originally supposed to do. BBC Radiophonic Workshop, they were there to make funny noises. They were there. They were making library music. They weren't making creative radio. People making creative radio said, "Oh, we want to make a funny sound with water," and go. But I don't think it was them who were the origin of the program ideas. They were the nerds of the time, and they knew how to work the oscillators or whatever they were using. But they were not, I don't think, program makers.
Semantic. I didn't have to answer all the time the question, what does that mean? I could ask the listener just to travel in my sounds, in my story. And if you hear it, or your friend hears it, you hear two different stories, but you hear stories, and you interpret them, you make them in your head yourself, in your ears. And that's what I like, this freedom.
Alafin was
real experimentation, not just in the form to create something nice to listen to,
music,
but
or
the
word text composition or more abstract sound of.
I keep being surprised by what Radio Art can actually be.
Radiophonic is trying to exploit
what would be the point of
the possibilities
going on
of
there.
The medium. As far as you can, to push sound as far as you can, to push radio forms as far as you can.
Especially when I got involved into the Ars Acoustica group, which is a group of radio makers more or less focused on these types of radio
art. In my opinion, radio art is a tradition. Radio art is something that
the audience all having the same experience. Every audience member has a different
because
experience.
That is the term that Klaus Schuling coined, and
so
he runs
initially I
BDR.
Thought of radio art more specifically as a practice of creative use of radio in terms of
only some words
appropriating and experimenting
reading
with terrestrial
them or listening
radio
to them, you are completing the poem by your emotion or your own story, own words, own imagination.
So I guess composer, soundscape artist, soundscape composer, sound artist, radio artist, I guess they all somewhere apply. I'm fascinated with sound, and so I'm fascinated with making pieces with sound, and they can be played over the radio, and they work quite well over the radio. And I'm fascinated by radio as a broadcast medium.
What is radio art? Kunstradio.
The Austrian opinion. We are in Vienna, and we are at the restaurant or a Gasthaus, as we call it in Vienna, and it's called Winzerkönig in Karl.
And it's in the 4th district of Vienna and very close to the broadcasting house. So there was the dematerialization of art, that is going away from the object, the saleable object and so on. And that, of course, also made it much easier to move on to the radio and see radio, as many artists did at the time, as a sculpture space. Explained the things, he said he sees that sculptural space defined by all the listeners listening at that moment, and of course the sculpture only being alive and there while the transmission goes on. Afterwards it's over, and any recording of it is then just a document if it's not part of the sculptural space.
They argue radio art is art on air, so it must be kind of arty. Yeah, but the problem with that, it's true on the one hand, on the other hand it means that it has to be live produced, so live broadcast. And that's a problem because in the German history, for example, in the early 20s or 30s, you had the Hörspiel, the radio drama, and this is pre-produced, so it's not live. So you go into the studio and you produce the radio play, and then you broadcast that. But Hörspiel is one of the most genuine forms of radio art in Germany, the base, the roots of all what has been developed afterwards. Because of that, I don't share the Austrian opinion like that. Yeah.
Kunst Radio, Radio Kunst.
For me, radio art is always also done, especially also for the radio.
They propose that radio art is nothing more than what artists do with radio.
Also in the sense radio as the extended or expanded version, so not in the broadcasting sense only.
Which is kind of simplistic in a way, but when you think about it, it's quite radical.
And it's always done by artists.
Because what artists do with radio is not necessarily what radio people want done with radio.
And it's for me also opening up, not always, but most of the times, as a communication space.
Radio people want done with radio what's normally expected of them. Artists don't do expected things. Radio people want done with radio what's normally expected.
Thank you.
What was interesting at that time was that it was... There was a lot of movement in the area of streaming internet radio.
And that's geographic and physical space, but I think that there's some kind of parallel when you think about space and the network. I mean, the network is a kind of cloud image.
Traditional radio, I think, was trying to come to terms with that.
Radio being temporally and spatially somewhat specific, internet being more generalized in both of these axes.
It was a moment when we were still coming to terms with peer-to-peer file sharing.
Many to many.
So it was in 2001 that I received the abstract
image that we hold is that, you know, the more nodes on the network, the more robust and the more connectedness.
To produce a radio art piece
for radio and internet
that would have different modes of listening depending on the medium through which it was listened to.
Mobile ad hoc networks are the kind that you have when you're looking at a Bluetooth connection, for example. And
could be heard differently.
And there are other models as well, but this is one that people are, you know, more familiar with.
Klangkunst.
Create a piece for live performance.
Device actually can serve as a node
to see how live conditions
in a network that can elastically expand or contract based on
of the internet and of radio would change.
We can constitute a network basically of three nodes, and that can ripple out, of course, so that you have a much larger geographic area can be encompassed.
Questions of listener engagement
and the fact that we used internet streaming sort of adopted from my practice in network performance.
As long as there are links within proximity, that they're going to point along the way. So,
to connect Germany,
but what
Canada,
it means is that it's not a fixed infrastructure
Japan,
necessarily that supports the network.
To do a sort of remote performance that's broadcast over a single radio channel and available on the internet was something that I thought was an opportunity to create a piece that would not have been a radio piece by itself. It would have not have been a network piece by itself. And that way, it became a unique piece for this combination of media.
Hörspiel für Radio und Internet.
Networks that emerge in the presence of people with devices, right? So, in a sense, we actually become, you know, our physical body becomes the material of the network, which is not unlike what the network originally is in the first instance, but for aesthetic consideration of technology. But it's interesting to see how that kind of...
Through the different windows of listening, questions of latency, questions of geography, the different windows of listening, be it broadcast radio or the internet, questions of latency, questions of geographical reach, questions of listener engagement.
And I think that's what SRC was about a lot. Like, we're not radio drama, even though we're sort of under the radio drama, but we wanted to really see how can you use radio and the web as a stage for more like art, performance, other things than classic radio drama. And myself, I was usually, I mean, since I was the artistic leader, it was a lot to do with just, you know, visions and holding the whole thing. We've had 300 different artists coming in and out through our ideas.
So you remove the wire and suddenly it's the wireless, and then turned into radio, and we kind of, everything was analog transmission, and now it's, interestingly, the word wireless has come back, and it's to do with the internet losing its data cable and going to wireless transmission. So,
reality in space is, there may be multiple definitions, but the space of frequencies that are electromagnetic, and they're generated naturally and also artificially.
I think, you know, what happens to spectrum policy will certainly impact artists who are literally working with the wireless spectrum. In the States, for example, in February of 2009, there'll be no more analog television broadcasts. I think and talk about radio art, I often will characterize it as transmission art, so that people aren't specifically thinking so much about conventional radio. So I consider it anything that is utilizing the electromagnetic spectrum, either in practice or in concept. Or use in conceptual works, or really circuit them and take apart and make it.
I don't think so. I think transmission art is using radio waves, but certainly when people talk about radio art, they often think about work for FM broadcast, and transmission is a vocabulary tool for helping people broaden that understanding.
Kind of storytelling in a way, even if it's totally abstract.
I keep being surprised by what radio art can actually be. It's about always finding a new aspect to it, and it's the artists that keep on teaching me.
Hans Flesch. Hans Bodenstedt. Bertolt Brecht.
What is radio art?
Well, as I was saying, perceive radio as an art space as well.
Walter Ullmann. Die Straße. Zauberei auf dem Sender. Many to many.
They all come together, and the common goal is to have a reflection on how to make radio an artistic exhibition space.
Radio art.
So why is it important? It's important as literature is important in a society. It's important because it makes us remember who we are, and that makes us moral, and that makes us human, and that is what the society is based on. So it's crucial.
What is radio art?
Sie hörten als Ursendung Sonic Reflections von Colin Black. Gesprächspartner in dieser Reihenfolge Martin Slavik, Götzner Lepper, Erik Michael Karlsson, Ed Baxter, Andreas Hagelücken, Philippe Langlois, Alessandro Bosetti, Gregory Whitehead, Douglas Kahn, Andrew McLennan, Jean-Philippe Renou, Dinah Bird, Virginia Madsen, Marie Wennerstein, Markus Gammel, Kay Mortley, Ameno Alberts, Andrea Cohen, Tom Rowe, Andreas Bick, Anna Fritz, Hildegard Westerkamp, Elisabeth Zimmermann, Heidi Grundmann, Atau Tanaka, Terry Roop, Garland Joseph Hunter und John Jacobs. Sprecher Elke Utermöhlen und Martin Slavik. Eine Autorenproduktion für Deutschlandradio Kultur 2016.